more.
I'm Sarah, single mom with 4 kids. With my track record of relationships, one thing has become blatantly apparent. I trust the wrong people. When it comes to relationships, I'm beginning to not trust myself and my ability to pick the right people.
And that's one of the things that we cover here. All this month, we are talking about relationships. My name is Robert Beeson.
And Kim? I'm Kimberly Mitchell.
Yes, you are.
And we have a good relationship.
We do have a good relationship.
Yeah, and I love being here and getting to do this with you. And we're just so glad that all of you have joined us as well.
That's right. We're talking about relationships this month. And this month, speaking of relationships, we have 2 other people that we have great relationships with. Marissa Lee and Amber Fuller are in the studio. To talk about who should you trust.
Yes.
Ladies, I am glad that you are here.
Thank you.
Okay, so both of you, one word to describe your people picker abilities when first becoming a solo parent.
Accurate.
Wow. Okay.
Love it.
So I'm going to...
I don't know.
That's
word.
Really hard. Because I got stuck with a lot of people I didn't pick. They were my husband's picks. And
okay.
It was like, I don't like any of them. They're all coming out of the woodwork like some kind of zombie apocalypse.
Now. Okay. Well, this is definitely going to be a good conversation. Before we get started, we do want to say this at the top of the show, and we do it every week because it's just that important, that if you are a single parent, it's so important that you know that you're not alone. There's hope.
That is very true. Robert and I were both single parents for a long time, like 8 years, and we know how difficult it can be because we've walked the journey. But we also know that your life can be transformed and changed in miraculous ways because of the season you're walking through. And we're going to tackle some tough stuff maybe today on the podcast, but this is going to be a good one. But like Robert just said, we will always end in a place of hope because that's who Jesus is.
That's right. We're here to tell you that not only is there hope, but you can overcome all that you've lost. So welcome to the Solo Parent Podcast. So many of us could accurately make this statement. I thought I knew them. But we all have been hurt. We've all been betrayed or in some way, shape, or form. As we move through this solo parent life, in this modern age especially, it's hard to know who to trust. Some people present really well and even act like they're here to help and protect. But sometimes it turns out there's different motivations or deeper issues that don't show in the beginning. So how do we recognize safe people after experiencing hurt, rejection, or abandonment? We can become so full of fear relationally that we end up feeling like just giving up, or we lower our standards to the extent that we continue making destructive decisions. So today, we're going to discuss who should I trust. But listen, I want to make this point that if you're driving and you just simply can't write down something that comes up because you're using both of your hands.
Yes.
Or if you're building a bomb shelter and you need to pay attention.
Seriously.
Yes. You don't need to stop. You can continue listening to what we're talking about.
Oh, gosh.
Because if you
who
miss
should
something.
Who should you trust as you're building a bomb shelter?
It
doesn't sound
exactly.
Very trusting to me.
No. You have good reason probably, right? Anyway, if that's you and you miss something, everything is going to be in the show notes. So you can just look there if you miss something, miswriting something down.
Man, this is that
it's really
was
important
good. That
to
was
say
good.
These things.
It's important. I know.
It's really
just
important.
Never know.
Yeah.
It's incredible. All right. Moving on. Marissa, you're on the hot seat first. So before your husband died, there was already betrayal, which we've talked about. And after you were handed the double whammy of his untimely death on top of betrayal, you must have had a hard time knowing what relationships were safe. Like what was your default reaction to having a hard time trusting?
So it was really hard because I could say that my marriage started peeling itself off about a year before he passed away. And there was constant new discoveries. And in fact, he's been gone 5.5 years. And I'll tell you, I had a new discovery. Less than 6 months ago.
Wow.
I went in to get some photos from something and found some photos of another woman that I didn't know were there. And so there's constantly just bomb after bomb after bomb that's like, okay, anytime I try to just trust him or say, okay, let's get past this, it just came right back in my face. So I started this trajectory towards, if you trust, you'll get burned. Mm. Then he passed away, and people who knew him started doing the same thing. They came after, they stole things from us. They would collude against us. Like, all of these very difficult, very hateful things that I'm like, will there be no end ever until this constant barrage? And I felt like what I had to do was essentially create this world where me and my kids were sheltered from everything, because I couldn't protect us from everything. So it was more like, going back to that bomb shelter, well, kids, let's sleep in here because we'll be safer and nobody can get us. And in fact, the boys' counselor, because I had started them in counseling, he said, you can't circle the wagons forever. And my personality, I'm a little defiant. And I said, you said I can't. So I laughed up at him and I said, watch me. Like, I'm not trusting anybody and nobody's getting in here. And it's going to be me and these two boys because this hurts. Over and over and over again. And I couldn't figure out, where did I go wrong?
That's a lot. Amber, what about you? Did you have a default reaction or like trust-wise after your divorce?
Yeah, I did. It's so painful when we're betrayed like that. Yeah. And I just feel so much compassion for your story, Marissa. When I discovered infidelity in my marriage, my trust in my husband at that time was absolutely destroyed. It felt like every window in the house had gotten blown open and the doors had been broken and there were no locks available anymore. And I was being asked to live in this house unprotected, completely unprotected from threats. And so I actually can relate that sometimes we want to circle up and feel safe again. But my default reaction was not to trust him at all. And I began to wonder, why didn't I see this coming? And so I think I started to lack some trust in myself. But I was super fortunate to be surrounded by people who were kind and caring and thoughtful and reliable and consistent and trustworthy. And so I couldn't generalize that lack of trust onto them because they were solid. They were trusted and available, and so I was so lucky to have that. I had a great example in my dad, in my boss at that time, who was a care and outreach pastor, just stellar character. And so my default reaction was absolutely not to trust my ex. Unfortunately, he had proven he could not be trusted. And I started to question my own discernment, but I was still able to trust other people.
Kim, how about you? Did you... What was your default? What did it look like for you?
I feel like I'm a really trusting person, maybe too much so. I've learned over the years because I've, you know, we've all been hurt by it, like just even friendships and stuff. I was probably super cautious about when it came to men because I did not want to repeat that. So that would have been for sure. Well, like, and you, Robert, like, did you trust women?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, but...
And I love them.
It wasn't, I don't think it was a gender thing. I think it was to what Amber was saying. Like, how could I... Like, my picker is broken. Like, how could I have not seen this coming? How could I... I don't trust myself.
Yeah.
And so I went through a season of like not... I'm like, I'm not interested in dating. I'm not, you know... And to your point, I just kind of hunkered down, and there were a few people, two women, actually two women that really got me through a lot of it. That, and they're still dear friends, Nina and Jordan. That like we went on vacations together. We went purely platonic. I mean, there was never anything more than friendship that I trusted implicitly, and of course my mom and stuff like that. But my story had to do with extended family as well. In the picture. So there, it kind of like, speaking of bomb shelter, it's so funny. I didn't even intend on that bomb shelter.
I know.
But it is very kind of appropriate to like, you just go into this defense kind of posture. And
but I think can I just say, when like our pickers, I was 24 when I first got married. Like, I'm still new to the world. Like, I'm only 24 years on the planet. And I thought I picked someone who was good. I did not know until... into a you know, I was going to say a treaty, a commitment, that like, this was not the person that I thought, because you put on a great show beforehand and I did not see, because I'm 24 years old. Now I'm 48 and like, I can see that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Right? So like, I feel like maybe our pickers change or people change too.
Yeah.
In relationship.
I think that's a big part of it, is that like, I don't think my husband set out and said, oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to do these yeah. things and throw my family through the ringer here. Yeah. I think it started out with, you know, I need a little more attention or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it quickly grew into a monster that couldn't be tamed. Mm-hmm. It was not an attack on me, which mm-hmm. that's something we have to be really careful mm-hmm. with, because if we personalize yeah. it, mm-hmm. what he was doing is against me,
yeah.
we'll really wander down into some thick weeds
yes.
There. But yeah, like my ability to trust him then, there's a good chance even the me now would trust the him of then.
Interesting.
But the yeah. him of later was not trustworthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Because okay, of so the decisions he'd
that's
made.
That's interesting, yeah.
Let me just throw this out there then. Who should we trust? Mm. And as a single parent, I mean, it's obvious just from having this first mm-hmm. 10-minute of conversation that we all looked at it differently. Like, I trusted women, yeah. even though my wife
yeah.
left Amber. Mm-hmm. You trusted people. You just mm-hmm. didn't trust. So we're all approaching this from different places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I imagine, every single parent listening has their own story
yeah.
and different levels of trust
yeah.
and trust issues. So to unpack this, who should we trust?
Mm.
Anyone, go.
We're both looking at the girls right now going, okay.
I think it really is complicated because when mm. I look back, I was young when I got married. I was uh-huh. 21, as was my spouse at that time. So we both were young. And I now can look back and see some warning flags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some of his family history and uh-huh. some patterns of behaviors that existed, maybe even generationally. But I was naive.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought we love Jesus. Jesus is enough. Mm-hmm. Jesus had been enough in my family. I somehow discounted the mm-hmm. hard work my parents had done with counseling
right.
and recovery and growth and the intention they had put into their growth process to become trustworthy yeah. people. And I thought, well, Jesus makes everything okay. And yeah. I really entered into it naively. Mm-hmm. And so when I look back, I maybe shouldn't have had so much trust
yeah.
in my ex at that time. And maybe I could have gone in with a clearer head. So I do think it's really complex.
And that's a really good point, though, is that we shouldn't trust everybody.
No.
To the extent that everything is equal.
Yeah.
Right? And we should give ourselves some grace.
Yes.
For the decisions that we did make.
Yeah. And sometimes we may find ourselves, you know, offering too much trust and it turns out okay.
Yeah.
The person actually, you know, or the situation is one that turns out better than we could have expected. And there are times when the opposite is true. And so I do think grace is important for ourselves. Grace is important for people. But I don't just trust anybody.
Yeah.
I look carefully at people's actions and watch and see who they are before I extend more trust.
And I think there's different levels of trust, mm-hmm. right? I might trust that somebody can bring my trash can down to the street when I'm out right. of town.
Mm-hmm.
And if yeah. they don't, mm-hmm. well, what's the response of them failing? That's much different than I'm trusting you with my child for an overnight trip
yeah.
right. somewhere else, right? Or trusting you with my deepest vulnerabilities mm-hmm. and some of my personal weaknesses. So I think there's layers of allowing people mm-hmm. the different places. And there's almost this, they've got to make it through some of different proof points, I think, before they can actually get into solid place where, hey, I'm going to be really vulnerable with you and I'm going to tell you what's keeping me up right now, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some girlfriends I'll share that with. There's
yes.
some I'll never share that with because
yes.
they don't want that information.
Right.
One of the other things I think that's really struck me, and there's a lot of verses about it, believe it or not, is flattery.
Mm.
So Psalm 12, 2 through 3, that's just an example of one. But neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts. And then it goes on to say, may the Lord cut off their flattering lips and silence their boastful tongues. I think for me, I often felt like, hey, there's a lie here, and I hate this lie.
Yeah.
But this concept of flattery makes us feel good, mm-hmm. especially when we're a single mom.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I'm frazzled, and somebody yeah. comes up and says, oh, you know, this is so wonderful, and you're such mm-hmm. a beautiful woman, and like mm-hmm. driving into those places. I think we've got to challenge some of that, like, is what you're saying actually going to help me, or is it really just trying to put a Band-Aid on what the problem is? Proverbs 27:5-6 says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love.
Mm.
Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. And 28:23 says, in the end, most people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Mm. You know, as a single parent, yes, there's parts of me that would love for somebody to just be come to me and say, well, your children are the best thing right. ever, and it's wonderful, and they're going to just be so healthy because yeah. you're such a great mother. But how much better is it for me and my kids for somebody to come up and say, you're a little hard on your son when he was just trying to ask you a question. Do you think you should, like, you know, apologize? And only certain people can That's do right. that latter.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes knowing somebody by their words, kind of what you were saying, you kind of watch people. What are their words saying? Are they willing to tell you the hard truth, even if it means you won't like them because they really want your best interest at heart? Or are they trying to somehow just get on your good side, quote unquote, so that they can get you to do something for them?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up because I have fallen prey to flattery because I don't want to trust that people would maliciously lie to me or whatever, you know? And generally, I'm someone that gives someone the benefit of the doubt, but there's some people that just misuse that. And it's gotten me into some hot water before, like not just relationally, but just in business and, you know, just because I want to believe that people are generally honest and trustworthy. And I'm not saying that they're all not that, but we have to be very careful. And sometimes it's a gift when someone is just straightforward, you know? Amber, I know you've talked about the devil you see is better than the ones that you don't. I think that's, you said that. But I think that's so true because we, it's almost the things that we don't see that we have to be more afraid of sometimes, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it really is tricky. I mean, kind of going back to that flattery thing or wanting to believe people when they say certain things. But one of the things that I have become really cautious about, and it's helped me be more accurate in my ability to trust people, is listening with my eyes. I hear your words, and now I'm going to watch your behavior and your actions to see if they line up. And then sometimes—
Which takes time.
Which takes time. It absolutely takes time. We can't rush to judgment. And see, sometimes I think we offer trust too quickly.
Yes.
And we can offer trust, but in measured, wise steps over time as we see evidence of behavior that proves someone is reliable and trustworthy. But going back to that whole analogy about, you know, that the enemy you see is better than the one who is hidden. You know, I think about it. If I'm in the forest and I hear a big bear crashing through the woods, their clumsiness shows me, whoa, something big's coming. I need to be afraid here. And you know already to watch out.
Yeah.
But what's more challenging is when there's kind of a tricky little weasel who's going to get into your backpack and steal your food and chew holes in your tent and, you know, chew on the electrical cord that's going to get your, you know, in your car that's going to get it started again. That's a lot more tricky. And so we have to be careful that, for those hidden kind of areas that we might overlook where we we need to be able to trust our gut and then not rush into things.
That's a big thing, not rushing into things. I want to I just want to take people at face value. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I think about my relationship now. My wife just calls it as she sees it. She doesn't have a filter. She doesn't like and it's, you know, but what I've realized more than anything about my wife is that I totally trust her because she, for better or worse, is incapable of like making me feel good just to make me feel good, like in response to something. And I take great comfort in that. Like it's, there's some, when someone can just call it as it is, it might come off abrasive at first. I might, but you know what? There's some beauty in that. And it's taken time, you know? How about for you? How have you, how do you look at trust now? Like, now that you are remarried and versus before you were.
Well, my people picker is a lot better now. So I live with a completely different kind of person than my first marriage. And he's taught me a lot. We learn so much. And yeah, he's the same. There is nothing, there's no flattery from his. Sometimes I'm like, just say it anyway. He's like, no. Like he just is an honest person and I'm easily charmed, which is how I got sucked in at 24, you know, because you want to believe that stuff. And I have a question, though. I'm going to ask a question. What about people? I'm thinking about all of our kids because we've got to teach them all this, right?
Yeah.
But what about our children? And I'm asking both of you because, you know, Amber's a counselor and Marissa, she's got the truth bombs, as we all know. That's what I call them every time. What about our kids when they, especially a parent, that they fully want to trust that that parent proves in their actions not to be trustworthy? Because I'm telling you, because I've watched it with my daughter especially, the hope is so crushed and their hearts are so crushed and hurt because you so desperately want to trust what this person is saying to you, but their actions never line up with the words. That stinks.
It does. It's such a painful lesson.
Yes, it is.
It's so painful. And I would rather go through that lesson than have my kids go through it.
Mm-hmm. And we have gone through it because we've had spouses that we can no longer trust.
Absolutely. And so it's painful. And I hate to think that they're having to learn it at such a young age. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important.
Yeah.
It's such a painful thing. But for them to be able to see even this parent that they really dearly love and want to trust, their behavior isn't lining up with what they say. Mm-hmm. And while difficult, that's actually part of how we become able to trust ourselves to say, you said one thing and you did another. That doesn't match. And I can see that with my eyes and I can watch your behavior and I can grow trust in myself that my discernment about that says, I still love you, but I can't trust you to be the person you say you are because you're not proving that to be true. And so I hate that it's such a painful, real lesson, but it is an important trust-building exercise because our kids are going to be able to see. Mm-hmm. We can't take people at face value all the time.
And can we have relationships with people we don't trust?
We can, but they're different.
They are different.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like at least that's been my experience is you can, but they look a whole lot different. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say that there are still people in my life who I don't 100% trust.
Yes.
But I mean, it's a daily exercise for me to, and some of these people are connected to the 5.5 years ago with my husband's death. But, and so it just becomes very transactional sometimes in these cases. And there's other people who I don't need to trust them.
Right.
So, you know, my neighbor down the street, I smile and wave. We have a friendly conversation. Yeah. But I don't need anything from her.
Yeah.
I think it's important to recognize that one size does not fit all. And just because you don't completely trust them doesn't mean they're not a valuable relationship.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Like I trust my mechanic, but I not get to work on my car.
Yeah.
But not
exactly.
to like sort out my spiritual well being. Like it's not that he couldn't, but but I think it's just, you know, as a recovering codependent, you're looking for this reciprocal relationship with everything that you do. Yeah. And that's just not, that's not realistic and it's not healthy, you know? I've had to learn that trust is something, an inner circle of a small group of people that I can really, really trust is important. And beyond that, we need to have a relationship. We need to have correct expectations for the relationship, but it doesn't mean you discard the relationship. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like I just don't think that, I have to recognize that my people picker and my, not just relationally, but in business too, I have been manipulated and I'm not even gonna say maliciously, but taken advantage of and that's just, it's just what happens.
I'm really glad you brought that up because this weekend as I was wrestling with this topic, that's something that I've seen in myself. I either A, want to trust somebody completely or B, I want to write them off and I'm very slow to write them off. And so there's this desire to like, well, keep trusting them, keep trusting that they're going to do this.
Yeah.
And then I end up in extreme turmoil because half of me is like, you know you can't trust them. And the other half is like, yes, but maybe they'll change. Like, because this is how I want them to be.
Yeah.
And I think figuring out that in that place, no, you have people who you can trust, rely on them. And then this person, they may work with you, so you can't just get rid of them. Or they may have some kind of relationship where you've got to, you can't just write them off. That's okay. It's okay to have a relationship that is very, you know, not a prism with all of the sides showing. It's just one dimensional. It's mm-hmm. just yeah. meets one particular space in your world. And that's the only place you have to exercise trust with them.
Mm-hmm. Let me shift gears slightly and ask the ladies in the room, romantically, when you're thinking about a potential mate, how did you, because you all are in relationship, mm-hmm. how did you start exercising the trust muscle when it comes to the opposite sex? Mm-hmm. Amber, how did you, in looking yeah. at your significant yeah. person in your life?
Absolutely. So I want to say plainly, human beings aren't safe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not safe.
Yeah.
Not completely.
Yeah.
I am a trustworthy, reliable person. In many ways, you can mm-hmm. trust all kinds of things about me, but human beings aren't safe.
Yeah.
We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. We will disappoint others. Mm-hmm. We will cause harm right. in some degree. And so right-sizing my expectations of myself allows me to have a very clear yes. view of other people, too.
Well said.
Yes.
And so when I started to consider who I might go out with even, I would think, yeah. well, what kind of things am I going to look for that will show me that they're going to honor kind of some of my boundaries? That helps me know they're trustworthy. They're not going to come crashing yeah. into my space or mm-hmm. or sneakily trying to yeah. do some kind of harm. And so it was measured, you know? I mean, you know, all the normal things. You meet for coffee first and you talk mm-hmm. and you get to know them. You don't jump into deeper waters so quickly. Yes. I think when it comes to trust, caution is wise.
Yeah.
That's not untrusting. That's mm-hmm. wisdom,
yeah.
you know, to be yeah. measured and to,
yeah.
and then not to set other people up to fail. You know, if I just meet you, I can't put so much trust in you. That uh-huh. onus is on me. If uh-huh. I give you too much power and control over our relationship and you burn me, so much of that is on
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I need to be mm-hmm. the gatekeeper for safety for myself.
Yes.
And so, when we end up grossly disappointed by someone, we might have to think, where did I go wrong? You know, where did I overextend?
That's so good. Yeah.
How about you,
yeah.
Marissa?
So I think one of the shames about online dating is it's so unnatural. You yeah. don't meet somebody in a context you don't want watch their character.
Mm-hmm.
My now second husband, I actually met him, 10 years ago, watched him as he took care of other people on bike rides or whatever, and there was nothing there because I yeah. was married at the time. But being able to see consistency and have that, like, it's funny. We went on a bike ride last week, and a water bottle cage of mine fell off. A screw came loose over a bridge, and I'm like, we've been here before. Not this exact bridge. But probably 7 years ago, you helped me screw this same cage back onto my bike. And he's like, I don't even remember that. I'm like, yeah, you wouldn't. But because yeah. that's the character that I consistently saw See. In
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered if it was me or anybody else.
Mm.
That's who you were and how you cared for other people around you. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of time where I just got to see who he was and what his character was in a place that was completely platonic, and there was no pressure, where you don't get that when you're like meeting yeah. online and you sit for the first time right. across from each other, even at coffee, and you're saying, well, give me 30 minutes of your time during which you can convince me that you want right. 30 more. Like, it's just awkward and so unnatural. Mm. And I don't know. I know, Robert, you were successful in that space. And so maybe the online dating.
Mining.
Yeah. Oh.
But
maybe
one thing, we dated
but...
for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. so we had a lot of time
yeah.
to see inconsistencies
yeah.
and that kind of thing. I think time is hugely important to understanding,
yeah.
you know, I mean, you can grow in trust, but it takes time.
Yeah. yeah. And I think the other thing that was really helpful for me was I knew people who knew him.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
had similar sentiments about it. And
yeah.
then when people found out we were dating, random people who'd known him for mm-hmm. eons too would just walk up to me and be like, you got a good one.
Yeah.
And to hear that from people who mm-hmm. there was no reason they were saying that. He mm-hmm. wasn't in earshot to hear it, but they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And in their lives, he had shown up for them. That speaks volumes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I
yeah.
think that's a great point. Sometimes when I'm unsure of someone, it's perfectly healthy and wise, yeah. again, to ask someone else, yes. what do you think about this person? Or what do you know about this person? Yeah. Or this situation? Corroboration. Exactly. I don't need to enter into a trust exercise alone. Mm-hmm. I can seek a community mm-hmm. of support and other people who care about me, who love yeah. me, who can maybe see with more clear eyes, yeah. be a bit removed and more objective. And so I think that's absolutely essential.
And I'm going to tag on that and say, if you're in a relationship right mm-hmm. now and you think it's going somewhere, but you don't want to introduce him to your friends and family, that is probably your inner something telling you red flag here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they are probably a really good judge. And yes. if they find something about him that they don't like, don't you want it to be sooner rather than later? Yes. Don't you want it to be, you know, yes, there is somebody better out there. Because mm-hmm. none of us want to go through the trauma we've been through again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. So true.
How about you, Kim? How did you start rebuilding trust with Brian?
I really like him.
That helps a lot.
You know what? I don't know. It's so funny. I wasn't looking for a relationship at the time. I was at a very content place with God and where I was. And like, if I'm single forever, I'm single forever. I just was at that place. I was 42 and I was like, this is fine. And literally that came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like, and it was friends that, you know, kind of set it up, and it just, I don't know. There was something, even before my girlfriend and I were coming to Nashville for a girls trip, but really it was to see this guy.
A scouting trip.
It kind of. even before we came on the trip, there was something. I was in Prince Edward Island with my kids, because my son was at hockey school, and I'm sitting with my cousin. I go, there's this guy, which I haven't told anyone about, in Nashville. I'm going next month. I think, I just feel like maybe I'm going to marry him. She's like, you don't even know him. I'm like, I know, but there's something in my gut. This was a total God experience, though. Mm-hmm. And then, I came. My girlfriend and I came. He picked us up from the airport, and that was that. Like, we were engaged 5 months later and married less than a year later. Like,
I love doing this podcast with you because I know you so well, and I knew you were going to go there.
I know.
Which is another point that mm-hmm. I think we need to really pay attention to, and that is that there's only one person that is 100% trustworthy, and that's mm-hmm. God.
Jesus, I know. And bring it all to him. We've got
absolutely,
to.
Because mm-hmm. like Amber said, we are all broken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I disappoint people.
Yeah.
You disappoint people.
Yes, all the
a
time.
A lot of people,
all
Kim.
The time, every day.
I'm just kidding. We all disappoint, but there is only one that will never disappoint us. Yes. And so we have to look to the source of where.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I've only dated other people. And there was always, and not bad people.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always something in my gut going,
yeah,
I'm not going to marry this person. So I would end them because I'm like, well, why waste my time? Mm-hmm. I got things to do. I've got kids to raise. But Brian was different.
Yeah.
And there was a piece, honestly, from Jesus that was like unlike anything else. And yeah, we're both imperfect, but he's a gift from God. And I'm so glad I waited for that. Truly.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, your lifestyle at that time, your walk with him was so close. And so you having that kind of gut feeling and really that sense of peace from him was something you had learned over time you could trust in listening carefully to God's voice and cultivating that relationship with him. And so you were able to step into that with more confidence and say, you know, there's just something about this guy. I think he might be the one.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just such an important point. That trust with God is something you could rely on because it was preponderance of evidence, time, etc. Yes. Someone else who's just entering those waters may not have the same level of confidence. And I'm hearing my caution come out right now where I'm like, listen, people, be careful. You can't always trust that little, you know, we have to be careful to what voice we're listening to.
Exactly.
Sometimes we hear that little thing in our head like, oh, I think this is the one that, you know, and it may not be.
Yep.
And so checking in with our gut and with our spirit, you know, if there's a check in our spirit or seeking our wisdom circle to see what they're seeing. I just think all of those steps are so important, but we can put our full trust in God.
Yes, absolutely. We can.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to just throw this out there for a little bit too. I did struggle some places with trusting God because I walked into an area that was so painful and so hurtful. And in my world, a good, good father would have protected me from such discomfort. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily truth, but that is what my heart wanted to cling to. Mm-hmm. And so I did wrestle with, God, I want to trust you, but I don't really want to.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, and I've written about this before, God didn't even spare his own son. Yeah. And so if you finish that walk, God, can I actually trust you with my heart? That can be a very, very hard thing for, I think, a lot of people who have been wounded. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, one, you're not alone. If you if you feel that way, that's actually probably a pretty natural thought. Mm-hmm. And two, God is big enough for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you, in that distrust, keep leaning into him, honestly saying, but God, I want to trust you. Yeah. Help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. He is faithful and he will show up. So sometimes we've got to develop those muscles and we have to keep going when that's the last person we want to trust is God, because we feel like he's the biggest one who let us down. No, he's not. Mm-hmm. But some of your story just, he's waiting to show more.
Yeah.
And so don't give up hope. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, even if you don't feel like you can trust, keep trying to. Yeah.
And I think that an important distinction to that, I'm so glad you brought this up, because being disappointed with God or not understanding is a natural thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about trusting God over people, it doesn't, what I'm not saying is that God will protect us from all harm or that there's nothing.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that because he's up there and knows everything, he's trustworthy, he always fulfills my desires like all the time. What I'm saying by trusting God is that you can trust him to bring your crap to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He will.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Yep.
Are Jesus' words to his father.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He is a trustworthy, safe place to let out everything. And so it's not just, yes, we believe that he turns all things to good, even when we don't see it. So when I talk about trust God above all others or trust, you know, I am very aware of the fact, and as are we all, that we have probably at one time or another felt, how could God, how could you let this happen? But still, he is the trustworthy place to come and say, I don't understand why you let this happen.
At the end of it all, God is still God.
Yeah.
And we don't understand the ways of God, but we can understand that God is always going to be who he says he is.
Right. Yeah.
And he's always going to be enough.
And at the root of it, trust in a person or in God basically means you are allowing yourself to be vulnerable to that person to hurt you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God is always, always trustworthy with our vulnerability. In fact, I would say that our vulnerability, even when we are dealing with uncomfortable thoughts about God, I actually think that's where real intimacy happens with him. Because we realize that we can say some pretty awful things to God. And he doesn't strike us down.
We can wrestle in our pain with God. And in his presence, we can sense his love and care even when we don't understand the purpose for our pain. But his presence there is so grounding and it's so comforting. I don't know another way to do it.
I
don't know another way to get through pain apart from allowing that really uncomfortable, vulnerable trust where it's like, Lord, I'm going to let you into my pain. I'm going to be really honest about how scary this is and how I'm confused by what's happening. But in allowing him in, he has proven himself real to me every time.
I'm looking forward to getting into our group discussions this week where we all around the world, as single parents, discuss who should we trust. These groups happen 7 days a week. Online, you just download our app and you have access to them every single day. 4 out of the 7 days, there's 2 meetings a day. We want you to join us and join other single parents and wrestle through this, because this is a big topic. Who should we trust? And we're going to explore this together with single parents just like you. It's awesome to be in community. It's even better to be in community where you take these issues and you actually wrestle with them together. So please join us. Let me just tell you where what I'm taking away from what we said. And Kim, I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
Number one, with who should I trust? Mm. Number one, don't trust everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay to be cautious and selective with who we give trust
yeah.
to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Number two, we trust different people with different things. Mm-hmm. Our inner circle is only for certain people.
Truth.
Very small group of people True. That you are actually completely vulnerable
yes.
with.
Yeah.
And that's wise to not be vulnerable with everyone, uh-huh. you know? Uh-huh. And those people that are in that close circle, treasure those relationships, foster those, work on those relationships because that is worth gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
And it doesn't look the same with everybody. So
that's
we trust
true.
Different people, different things. Number three is watch and corroborate character. So listen with your eyes, like you said, Amber. Watch behavior over time. Get other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. Like when you're talking about who should you trust, the more wisdom that we can have spoken into it, the better. Mm-hmm. And then the final one, which is where we ended, is trust God more than you trust people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It means being completely vulnerable to him because he does turn all things to good and will guide our path, whether it's about a mate or whether it's about a business decision or whether it's about whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's trustworthy. So.
Yeah. So true.
Ladies, thank you for being with us
yes.
today. So good to have you, Marissa. So glad to have you, Amber. It's always good to have you in the studio. If you haven't downloaded our app, do that because you have access to all of our podcasts, devotions, and like I said, any of our groups 7 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah. This was so good. Thank you so much. Robert, it's good that you're here too.
Well, thank you, Kim.
Just wanted to say that. And actually that all of you are here and that you are listening, even if you're building, you know,
a bomb shelter.
Shelters or whatever you're doing.
You know we're going to get letters.
I know we're going to get letters.
And pictures
yes.
of bomb shelters.
Yes, yep. for sure. We just love that you're here. We love you and we love that we get to walk this journey together. And if you haven't already, do subscribe on the Access More podcast platform. We love Access More and the gajillion other podcasts that are there with such great wisdom and wonderful people. And wherever you get your podcast, would you rate our show? Just because that helps other single parents find this community and this family, and we want them to feel loved and hopeful as well. So please do that. We love you guys. Leave us a note or something.
Absolutely.
And a good one.
Listen, find us on social media,
yes.
TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
Yes.
We'd love to hear from you. I want to leave our time like I do every single week with our founding verse. It's from Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Thanks for being with us. We'll see you here again next week.